It was just 5 days ago that it was Christmas, wasn't it? Most people on that day received gifts, either that day or maybe the day before on Christmas Eve. You may use those gifts once or twice, maybe some of them. Maybe you'll use them all year long. But maybe some of them will be put aside. Some of them maybe go into your white elephant section for next year, whatever it is. But today, I want to talk about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And I want to talk about these gifts that are more eternally driven. Gifts that are more eternally given. The gifts I would like to talk about are the gifts from God. Specifically, but nothing short of God coming alongside of us and helping us and strengthening us each and every day. I think the key phrase is how God wants us to live here. God wants us to live with him in such a way that is life-changing. When Daniel was sharing that story, that's living for Christ. Giving it all, laying it out for him. We've got to surrender to him in order for us to be available to him. We've got so much stuff coming into us. It's really hard for us to get out of the way for Jesus. We really got to quiet ourselves. We really got to get on our knees. We really got to get in God's word. I guess the sort of the phrase that jumped out at me, Daniel, when you were sharing it, was John Wesley wrote a beautiful sermon. It was called The Almost Christian. It's a fascinating sermon. We want to get rid of the almost Christian and really be all in for Christ for 2019, don't we? Amen. We've got a big agenda for 2019, and if we aren't all in, there's somebody else that's ready to take over, and we don't have space for that, right? Amen? We can get a little excited about that one, I think. We can get a little bit excited about that. But see, there's also this other part that we have to clear out sometimes, and that's sin. When we are slaves to sin, we are not in God's will. Sin oftentimes makes us ashamed of our actions. And sin puts us a distance between us and him. Last week during Christmas was really a time to reflect really on what God was doing for us. Not only for us, but sometimes we also reflect on what God is, how God is moving in our own families. And sometimes we even are wanting God to move even into our families' lives even more. I think when Daniel was sharing that story again, we have this deep desire. Brian and I were reflecting on our visit up to Wisconsin with his family last night, and we have this deep desire for that image, right, that you shared, the image where God leads the 99 to find that one. You know, to find that one. I know that I talk about this a lot because I know God finds the one every single day. I know that the heavens rejoice every single day. He's in the business of saving. He doesn't let a day go by without somebody being saved. He doesn't let a minute go by without reaching out and touching somebody. That's what our God does. He saves. That night on Christmas, he sent us a Savior. He sent us Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the gift. It would be through the Savior that God would offer a sacrifice for our sins. It would be through the death of Jesus, the blood, Jesus' blood, the atonement, that we would be saved. And all we have to do is ask. All we have to do is receive the gift. Receive the gift. When we ask and receive, transformation happens immediately. Transformation happens immediately. One of my favorite verses is that if you can envision that transformation, you know, God wipes you as white as snow. There's no you know, bringing back any of that in that sin, that prior sin. When you ask for forgiveness, all sin is wiped away. We are clean. Oh, we are clean. These actions are done in our own free will through the Holy Spirit. It is not through our works, but the works of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. 1 Corinthians 12:7, that verse is on the screen for you. I'm going to read that one more time. A spiritual gift is given to us so that we can help each other. I want you guys to kind of keep that phrase in your head. Help each other. Because I believe in God's word and I believe in God's promises. Don't each and every one of you? That's right. It's God's gift of eternal life that we ultimately seek. Each and every one of us. That's the promise, right? For the wages of sin is death. For the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. To start, I'm going to be reading scripture from the book of John. So if there's Bibles in front of you, and if you are a person that doesn't have a Bible, those Bibles are a gift. There are red ones, there are brown ones. Either one is available to you if you want to take home. But I'm going to be in the book of John today. And John is one of the last of the four Gospels that we're going to be reading through today in the New Testament. It's a complex Gospel, but oftentimes it is a book that people instruct new believers to read. Dan Coughlin, he always tells me, oh yeah, that's the first book I tell people. Go read John. The Gospel of John is often cited as the Gospel of Truth. Again, going back to Daniel again, but he said, you know, there's this misunderstanding, this confusion, and everything. And sometimes when you read through John, it is because when Jesus is talking throughout the entire thing, he is desperately seeking and desperately telling people who he is and who his Father is, right? It's throughout the entire thing. And so John also had a brother. His name was James. And Jesus had a nickname for those two, and they were called the Sons of Thunder. So the kids aren't up here with us today. They're downstairs with Juan and Maggie doing Mission Sunday. But if they were in here and they had their sermon notes, I would tell them to draw a thunderbolt. And hopefully that thunderbolt would just give them enough of a reflection as they go through their week to remind them to read the book of John. So if you need that reminder to go home this week and read through the book of John, go ahead. If you're taking notes, draw out a thunderbolt. It's okay. You can be kids today too. So draw out your thunderbolt. This book in the New Testament is a powerful book of truth and filled with the accounts of Jesus' birth, Jesus' ministry, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection. I have to admit, as I read through the book of John, I found it interesting how often Jesus was teaching others about who Jesus and who the Father is, just like I said. Time and time again, I would read through it. Not only did he have to teach it, but I found that he had to defend it as well. John does an amazing job of explaining who God is, who Jesus is, and who the Holy Spirit is, three in one. John also references Jesus throughout the book as the light. We had some of the lyrics in our songs today talking about the light. Jesus is the light. Right away in chapter 1, Jesus explains that Jesus brought light to everyone, and the darkness can never extinguish it. It can never extinguish it. This comes from verses 4 and 5 in chapter 1. A few weeks back, I shared with you guys, I think it was December 9th when I was up here last, the names of God. And in order to understand the names of God, I shared that we would have to go back all the way back to understanding the Trinity. So if we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit gives, we have to understand who the Holy Spirit is. In order to understand who the Holy Spirit is, again, it starts with the Trinity. In John, the Gospel, in chapter 14, specifically, Jesus was talking with the disciples, and Jesus began to have a conversation with Philip. And he was one of the disciples. And in this discussion, Jesus began to explain that God and he are one in the same. You can tell this conversation is getting a little bit intense because of the short answers and the questions. Jesus is pleading with them to trust, but the disciples are clearly needing answers. They're wanting answers from him. And these conversations were happening towards the end of Jesus's ministry. So Jesus is trying to explain to them some of the future things that were going to happen. And the vision that I kind of got when I was reading that was, you know, Jesus is talking and sort of their jaws are dropping, like, and their eyes are sort of getting bigger and things are going over their head. You see, I could relate to that because that happens to me. Sometimes I'll go to conferences with Pastor Steve and Pastor Katie, and I'll be sitting and there'll be this like big theologian guy talking and everything. I'm like, well, that just went over my head. I walk out of the conference or something. So I could relate to Philip. But in verse 9, Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't understand who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me, why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. That's key. Does the work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. These disciples worked and walked along with Jesus for many years. And, you know, Jesus was just putting out there, at least believe because of what you've seen, right? They saw him heal people. They saw him teach to people. These types of conversations are throughout the entire book of John. Jesus having to explain this, but because John was an eyewitness to the account of Jesus' ministry, he does an amazing job making it very clear what Jesus stated, that I am the Father and the Father is in me. Not only did he have to explain this to the disciples, but he had to explain it to the Pharisees as well. And when we jump to chapter 8, verse 12, this section is titled, Jesus is the Light of the World. Jesus started out right away saying, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The words once more jumped out to me is Jesus is starting to notice he is having to repeat himself time and time again to the people, but they're just getting it. This is the theme. They're just trying so desperately to understand what Jesus is saying. The Pharisees even put it bluntly, where is your Father? They asked that question so bluntly, where is your Father in verse 19? For us, most of the time, that's a pretty easy question. If somebody asked you, where is your Father? Well, for me, I would say, well, he lives in Kankakee, Illinois on Josephina Drive. That would be a pretty easy question. But for Jesus, he would have to explain this and explain it and explain it. Check out how Jesus answers the question. He says, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. I mean, he just puts it out there very bluntly. If you don't know me, you don't know my Father, because what did the verse say before? The Father is in me, right? If you knew me, you would also know my Father. And he left it just like that. So simple, so bluntly. Just left it like that for the Pharisees. And I'm sure they sort of left kind of scratching their head, trying to process and try to thinking it out. I dug into the New Testament dictionary to look up Jesus. And in there was a subtitle named The Mission of Jesus. It stated, "We have seen that Jesus regarded himself as playing the central role of bringing in the kingdom of God. It was in his ministry that the hopes of the Old Testament were to find their fulfillment." In other words, he is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah, the one that saves. Appointed to accomplish a redemptive purpose towards God's people and a judgment to his foes. Now, if we jump to John 14 and Jesus begins to share with his disciples about the Holy Spirit, at this point, Jesus has to explain God and Jesus, two in one, and now Jesus has to begin to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now we're at three in one. Now they're really confused. Jesus also needed to tell the disciples about the advocate that was coming after he leaves. John 14, 15 through 7. "If you love me, obey my commands. And if I ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you." Let me say that again. Who will never leave you? The Holy Spirit will never, ever leave you. Is that a great promise? Is that a great promise? He will never leave you. He will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. We know that from Scripture, that our God cannot lie in his holiness. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God within us and all believers, helping us live as God wanted and building Christ's church here on earth. That's why we're here. The key definition part of the Holy Spirit is helping us live as God wants us to live. How does the Holy Spirit help us? Before we even choose Christ to be our Savior, the Holy Spirit is working in us. We call that prevenient grace, the grace that goes before you. God is already has his hand on your life before you even ask. Now, like Christ, we are to live for the glory of God. A life that is pleasing to God in every way, free from the enslaving power of sin. As Christians, we are called to live a holiness life. This is how God wants us to live. Remember, we talked about that at the very beginning. God wants us to live a holiness life. John Wesley, a theologian, would define this through Scripture. He would use the golden rule, Scripture, that's actually what he would call it, to describe how God wants us to live. We would need to jump back into Matthew 22, 37 through 39. This is a verse that many of us know. "You must love the Lord with your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love thy neighbor." This is how God wants us to live, loving him, loving others, loving our neighbor. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? I want to share with you guys an observation that I had last Sunday. Not often do I sit up here in a pew row with my family. Two of my sons are in college now, and that's all I have. I don't have any more. They're in college. And I'm downstairs. That's where God called me. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But last Sunday, I was here sitting in the pew with my family, and a few rows up was my dear friend, Shirley Jones. She is one of our elders here in our church. And when I sat down and looked at her, she was in a row with three other women. And it just warmed my heart. I have known Shirley for years. I know her journey, and her journey has been just like this, just like everybody else's. But I want to tell you that Shirley is a person that often has to surrender everything to her Lord and Savior in order for her to be a witness for God and to be used by God. And Shirley's journey started, I would say, was it 7 years ago that her husband passed away? And she just didn't know what God was going to do during this time of her life. And so she began a journey of getting quiet with God. She began a time of spending a lot of time on her knees and asking. She had to ask, God, what do you want me to do, right, Shirley? What do you want me to do? What, you know, I've done this, I've done that. What do you want? A lot of times we get, you know, we've got this and we just want to go, right? Shirley said, well, sometimes we get into things that God really never had our, you know, intentions for us to get involved. We jump into it maybe too soon. So she said, be patient. Be patient with God. Let him begin the work. Not you, but God. Let him begin to do a work. And so she began a prime timers ministry here at Trinity, a place where seniors could gather together once a month and share a meal and talk. And in every phase of our lives, right, we all have, like right now, I'm an empty nester. I could talk all day about like that craziness. I told Brian if we would have had just one more kid, we wouldn't be in this situation. But here we are, empty nesters. So every phase of our lives, there's conversation to have with like people around us. And she started that. And then God opened up another door for her. She is a chaplain for the one of the hospitals in Aurora, right? And she goes room to room praying over people and praying with them. That's what God opened the door for her. And then just recently, she's began a journey with women, discipling them and picking them up and driving them to church. Now, Shirley, I'm not going to tell you her exact age, but she might be in her maybe 80s, right? 84. Well, she said it. She threw it out there. I didn't. She threw it out there. 84 years old. And she only has one good eye. You're pretty much blind in the other one, right? So she's driving people, right, with one eye to church. But you see, she's got a lot of excuses she could use. But it's through the Holy Spirit that strengthens her, that has been working in her because she surrendered it all. She's available to do God's work. She's available to help others. She's sitting over there and she doesn't want you to acknowledge her because she wants you to give glory to her Lord and Savior. It is through him that you know, And people will, you know, like even after preaching, people, you know, and pastor would say the same, you know, oh, good sir. Well, you can just give that praise right up to the Heavenly Father because that's who deserves it. So if you walk out of here and you feel blessed, you give that honor to God because we're just a vessel up here. We're just witnesses, right? If you go all the way back to the beginning of John, when God starts talking about that light, he starts about talking about John the Baptist, right? And John the Baptist was not the one, right? John the Baptist was a witness. That's what God called him. He is a witness. John Baptist is a witness. We're a witness. We are a witness to God, but we've got to be available. We've got to be available to him. If we keep on piling our schedule, because that's right now, that's a large majority of us. When we fill that schedule up and up and up, it's really hard for God to move in and to allow him to work in you and for you to be a witness, being his witness. Thank you, Shirley, for being such a wonderful role model to us. Shirley Jones, a dear, dear friend. I want to tell you one more thing about Shirley. She's got one quote for you. I want to wear out, not rust out. That's a good one to live by, right? I want to wear out, not rust out. She still wants to be used by God. She still wants to help others. She still loves her Lord and Savior. Just like Jesus shared that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will never leave you, Shirley Jones is here to testify that the Holy Spirit has never left her. The Holy Spirit has provided not only for her spiritually, but also for her needs, she would tell you. The Holy Spirit cares about every single area. Let us begin that conversation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For this instruction through Scripture, Paul is the author of this book, and he is speaking to the people in Corinth, and Paul shares in verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is a source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but in the same God who does the work in all of us, I think it's important for us to note that this scripture is talking about the works of the divine, not us. It is not through our works. Verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That wasn't something we just made up. That's God's word. Just like Shirley, the Spirit has given her the gift to help others, is doing with the ladies as she's helping. And when we act in this way, our actions are of holiness. Amen. Those actions are actions of holiness. Holiness is not something we can earn. Holiness is a gift from God. Just like Shirley had to surrender, we need to surrender ourselves to God so that we can serve him. In verse 8, to one person, the Spirit gives ability to give wise advice to another. The same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another and to someone else. The one Spirit gives the gift of healing. In the book of John, Jesus demonstrates that the gift from the Holy Spirit in him to heal the blind man and to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he heals also a paralyzed man. We can be confident knowing that the Holy Spirit is doing what the Holy Spirit is doing through verse 11. It is the one and the only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I shared at the beginning that our gifts are for our eternal purposes. And when we use our gifts to help each other, those gifts are not only for our eternal purposes for ourselves, but each and every one of the people that we're helping, right? Shirley has no idea what those three individual women, what their journey will be like today. But she's the one that said, yes, God, I'll drive them to church. Yes, God, I'll do this. Yes, God, I'll do that. Helping others. I don't know if you guys have ever read chapter 17 in John. It is one of my favorite chapters. If you don't read the book of John this week, at least jump into chapter 17. It is Jesus's prayer. It is broken down into three parts. He prays for himself, for his glorification, which is my favorite. He prays for his disciples, and he prays for us, and he prays for future believers. Verse 21, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. And in verse 21, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world would believe you sent me. If you don't believe this, imagine, just see how God is moving in this world even today. Just think what has happened from since the birth until today. I mean, some amazing things have happened. How people have experienced God working in their lives. Miracles that have happened. Rachel Heath, she is a walking miracle in this church, people. She is she had cancer and God completely healed her of that. I mean, that is something, that is a hallelujah, you're right. That's a huge hallelujah. And how God brings people out of the depths and brings light into their life. That is a hallelujah. There are people that are experiencing God's hand in their life in ways that are just, it's just unbelievable. My friend Chris is a walking miracle. He shouldn't even be here. But he's here. And he's on his way to, you know, like ordination. I mean, that's just crazy. And so God's love is reckless. God's love is reckless. We need to be reckless. We need to get out of the comfort zone. We need to be ready for what God has for us. We need to be obedient to him. I am so excited for what God has for us in 2019. And Daniel, if you don't mind, I want to open up the altars. You know, sometimes, like Shirley said, we got to get on our knees. I don't know if you guys felt that this morning, but when Daniel was sharing, we really could have just went home right there because he really just brought it home right there. I mean, he brought it home. But are we ready for action? Are we ready to take that step? Are we ready to move forward? What is your action for 2019? How are you going to allow holiness to enter into? How are you going to receive that? And so we have two sides of altars. And I'm going to ask Pastor Herb to come up, and there might be individuals here that maybe just need to pray with Pastor Herb just to clear out the junk, right? To clear out the junk to move forward. On this side, if you just want to spend time with God, we got to get quiet, right, Shirley? We got to get quiet. So you know what? Do you have that? Extra few minutes just to sit with God a little bit today that just allows him to work in you, remove all the stuff that you, don't worry about the groceries. I know Sunday afternoon. Don't worry about your nap. He'll give you some sleep. Nazarene nap. Let's get serious today. Let's forget about the almost Christian, right, Pastor Herb? We need to move towards holiness. And so as Daniel begins, we're just going to open up the altars. So let's pray and just get our hearts ready before Daniel begins. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to open up our hearts. Lord, we just want to pour out our hearts to you this morning, Lord. We don't want to leave this place, Lord, not knowing what you have for us, Lord. Lord, we need to surrender, Lord. We just need to come to you and just give it all to you, Lord, and forget all the other junk, Lord, and just fill us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit today, Lord. And so, God, fill our altars, Lord. Fill this time, Lord. Let our people say yes to you today, Lord. God, I just pray that you would just come down in a mighty, mighty way, Lord. God, I just thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done this morning, Lord. I thank you for Daniel, Lord, how he worshiped and how he praised your holy name this morning. Lord, we're asking for your reckless love this morning today, Lord. God, if there's people ready to come, Lord, bring them up to the altar now, Lord. Don't let them hesitate, Lord. Let them sit. Let them just be with you. Lord, I just pray that you would just bring this time, a time of just of anticipation coming up for 2019. What do you have for us, Lord? What are you going to do, Lord? God, I can't wait. What are you going to do with this series? How are you going to prepare your people, Lord, to answer the hard questions that people are asking in our community? Lord, there's people in our community, Lord, that are desperately in need of a Savior, Lord. We've got to be ready. We've got to be equipped to answer these questions. Who you are? We've got to be ready to know that we can answer in full confidence, Lord, that you are a God that loves. You are a God that saves, Lord. God, that's who you are. God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, Lord, today that you are the God that saves. God, move us. Move us to a changing time. God, thank you.